remembering the end.
What time is it?
Game time.
And it's time for fourth quarter, where Jake's down by 10, and Aaron's going to bring him back up. Go ahead, Aaron. Take it away.
That's right. I'm coming in for the Hail Mary. I'm throwing a long pass, and I know I can always rely on my buddy Jake to bring it on home.
Of course. I'm always going to be there for you. No problem.
Yes.
Deep ball right off the left side.
And you know what?
Got you covered.
I think we're even going to go for the two. I really think we're going to
go for the two.
Yep.
Let's go for the two. And then, speaking about the two, the Orlando City Soccer had some problems with that when they lost to the Chicago Fire 2-1. In fact, they actually outshot the Fire 21-10, still lost, and they're fifth in the standings right now at 19 points.
I know. And Coach Kreese, actually, he was talking about how the players really need to believe in their hearts that they're a better team and have more confidence. While they're slipping out of the playoff picture, I feel like the Pride are rising up to the challenge. Definitely, as they still remain in third place in their conference. And they lost against the Courage, but they had a win against Chicago. They swept them 5-2. It was huge because, actually, they've never beaten Chicago before.
And it was also another thing, you know, the Chicago Red Stars are having kind of a bad year, but you also look at it from this point of view. Rachel Hill had the fastest goal in Pride history, 108 seconds. Are you kidding me? That's insanity. So a big win for them. Then they got a big time game coming up. They're going on the road at Seattle to take on the Rain. They're second in the standings against the third place Pride. So it's going to be a great weekend for Orlando Soccer.
And I just have to toot the horn for Sydney LaRue. This is her first goal. 2 goals in 2 minutes.
Unbelievable.
I mean, that is amazing. I wish that we would have seen that in the game against Courage, but I think Seattle's looking very, very promising. But speaking of third place, let's talk about the Rays.
Unreal how the Rays are still in this. I don't know. I mean, let's be honest here. I mean, it's an outside chance for them, but they're still playing really good ball, even though they let Alex Calame, he went off to the Mariners. They took Denard Span. They gave $4.75 million. Half of Span's contract, and they got back their top prospects in return from the Mariners. But they're still winning. And, you know, tonight they got Blake Snell on against the Athletics. And Johnny Venters, you know what? I'm becoming a Johnny Venters fan because it's his first save since 2011. He got it last night. So they have opened up the gates here for him, and the Rays bullpen has been outstanding. A lot of credit to Kevin Cash and his staff. 31 1/3 innings pitched. Over 4 games, only giving up 2 runs during that 3-game winning streak as well. So big time. It's a lot of fun watching the Rays right now, no matter what happens to them with the transaction block.
I agree with that. And the draft coming up, too. I mean, they have number 16 pick. They have 3 of the top 32 picks. So honestly, it's looking bright for them, and they're not looking for those big stars. I mean, they're just looking for strict athleticism, and I love that. And they're even talking about taking a kid out of high school, you know, that just graduated, which would be a great opportunity for them. Let's get some young, fresh blood in there. But did you hear that the Rays are going to move their stadium to Ybor City?
To where?
Ybor City. That's like the downtown mecca of Tampa, basically.
Oh, so they're still trying to get that new stadium. It makes sense. I mean, I've heard from a lot of baseball writers that Tropicana Field is unfortunately, it's one of the most disappointing stadiums.
Yeah, so they're saying that 1/5 of the Tampa Bay population live within 30 minutes of the stadium now. If they move to Ybor, 1.6 million people will actually be within a half an hour drive. I think that's really exciting. Growing up in Tampa, it's amazing. But let's get back to that pitching and Cash. He pulled Chris Archer in the sixth inning after 90 pitches. He loaded the bases, though, with back-to-back walks. But talking about 90 pitches, that reminds me how Houston lost 92-101 in the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah, you know something? Houston, pretty much, they made their own bed. And unfortunately, they messed it up as well. I mean, they were 0-for-27 coming into the fourth quarter on the three-point shot. They shot 16%. In fact, they were only 2% lower than what Boston shot in their Game 7 against Cleveland. I mean, Trevor Ariza, 0-for-12 shooting, 0-for-9 from the three-point line. James Harden, 2-for-13 from the three-point line, 12-for-29 shooting. Are you kidding me right now? You're supposed to become the new MVP of the NBA, and you couldn't bring it. And that has just been James Harden's MO since 2011, back when he was with the Thunder. So, I mean, I'm not surprised that we got Golden State and Cleveland in this, but you know what? I'm not going to lie. I'm kind of excited to see it because the ratings are up. 13 million people watched both Game 7s. They were the highest ranked, and I think the NBA Finals will even be better, so coming up. I think it's going to be a good Finals. Not a great, but good.
Well, I think it's going to be absolutely phenomenal because they're breaking history. They're breaking history. This is the fourth time that the Warriors and the Cavs will be in the NBA Finals. And it's like, you know, it's like when you play pool and you don't want to end in a tie. So to me, I feel like even if Cleveland won, that means that two times Golden State would have won. So it's kind of like...
If Cleveland wins this, if LeBron James finds a way to win this, it's going to be one of the biggest upsets in sports history because they're coming in 12.5-point underdogs right now. This is the most that LeBron James has ever dealt with before. And also, you talk about this for a moment with Cleveland. You know, when you got a guy who goes all the game, 48 minutes, 35 points, 15 boards, and 9 assists, That's insanity. Like, you want him to be in the finals. And we talked about this. They have to have LeBron James in. No matter if you like or hate him, let me tell you something. The history of LeBron James, you're not going to ever see again. This is a rarity in life as a sports fan. Agreed?
Well, one thing, yes and no. I think he's a great athlete.
Yeah.
I think that he's definitely had some help. But just like Houston, so it's like Harden did great, but he was missing Chris Paul. Without Chris Paul, it didn't happen. So it's like, come on, you need the support. And that's one thing that Curry has said is that LeBron is not given enough credit to his teammates. And we've seen that. But I have to say, the Golden State knows how to bring it back because we saw in that third quarter, it only took them 7.5 minutes to get the lead back. That is huge, and that's something that I think LeBron is underestimating is the power of the team of Golden State Warriors, that they're just going to come in and they're going to dominate.
And speaking about Golden, nothing is more Golden right now than the Vegas Golden Knights. Did you see that game last night? Did you see it?
I didn't watch the game,
No, Aaron. Oh, you let me down.
But you know what? I do know that it's the most lead changes ever in history. Four times the lead change in Stanley Cup, which is crazy. I know, you know, I don't have to watch the hockey because he does.
Right.
So I'll watch the NBA playoffs and he can watch, you know, because sometimes there's a conflict.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, that's why we work so well here in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, exactly. A combined 135 shot attempts.
That's insanity. But the one that really shocked me the most was that Alex Ovechkin only shot the puck twice all night. And, I mean, you talk about Brendan Holpe, 28 saves, 28 for Marc-Andre Fleury as well. But, man, the Golden Knights, they were just firing on all cylinders. But then the Capitals came back. And then in the second period, Riley Smith, not even like a minute in, was able to scoop it in for the goal and make it 3-2. But it was just it was a wonderful game to watch. 10 goals combined between the two teams. And that is exactly what the NHL wants.
Yes.
Is you're going to get a 6 or 7 game series out of these two teams.
I don't want 3-0, 4-0.
Absolutely.
I want to see a good game. And they were saying that, you know, the goaltending, this is the first time you've actually seen both goalies with a challenge. And that's what I like to see. I like to see a challenge.
Absolutely.
You don't want to see a sweep. You really don't.
No, you don't. You want to see a great series. I mean, this is the first time since 1998 that the Capitals have been in the Stanley Cup. They have always been known as the legacy of failure. This is a great opportunity for them. At the same time, the Vegas Golden Knights can make history by becoming the only expansion team to win a Stanley Cup in their first ever year. That's unbelievable. And the NHL has just got to be happy as ever, cigars in their mouth, Johnny Walker on one side, Jack Daniels on the other, ready to go. So,
well, I hope the Golden Knights win just so we can say they're the Golden Knights. We're the Golden Knights in Orlando. So, but let's talk about the Indy 500. Actually, we have a little soundbite we're going to play for you.
All right. In the race cars. Soon we'll hear Tony Holman with his annual announcement, but we think it's going to be different. Remember, there is a woman in the race this time. And the age-old cry, of course, is, gentlemen, start your engines. Tony would not tell us this morning exactly what he's going to say. Let's go now to track owner Tony Holman.
In company with the first lady ever, at Indianapolis. Gentlemen, start your engines.
Sounds like a classic.
And I have to say, I love that I emailed this to Jake, and he was like, that's so awesome. They didn't even say their name. This is a classic. He thought this was for like 2018.
No,
Daytona,
no, no.
Like...
No, you actually misread that because I was saying it sounds classic. Like it sounds like 70s or 80s.
It is. That's 1977.
Jeez.
Janet Guthrie made history 41 years ago as the first woman to compete in the Indy 500. And thank you, NPR, for that soundbite. That was awesome.
Well done. Well done. Especially this, too, because Danica Patrick, she had a historical career. Unfortunately, it ended at turn two. She had both the exterior and the interior wall, so ending her career in IndyCar. But she had a wonderful career, and congrats to Will Power, the Australian himself, was able to get the big-time win in a Indianapolis 500 that had seven crashes. Seven! And I missed it. Doggone it. But anyway, speaking about that, you don't want to miss the rest of the heat is on as we lead the fourth quarter. We'll be back in a moment here on WFLA 102.5 News Radio.